Thank you. So our next presentation is by Mindy Chang with the City Harvest in New York City. Her presentation is entitled it's a different title here, Effect of Price Variety and Caloric Cost on Food Purchases in Corner Stores in New York City. Welcome.
Hi. Yeah, I changed the title because it was a little bit of a mouthful. So hi, I'm Mindy. I'm with City Harvest in New York City. I'm with the Evaluation Department, actually. This is the title that I'm going to be presenting on. This is my disclosure statement. I don't have any relationships to declare. So a little bit about the background for the study. We know that more than a third of the U.S. adult population is considered obese, and this seems to affect those with the highest poverty rates. What we know in New York City is that 22% of the population are obese. But when you break it down by income, as poverty or income decreases, poverty rates actually increase. And so what has been done with some studies is they've started to look at the food environment in these low-income neighborhoods to see what it is about them that could actually contribute to this. And so a lot of these neighborhoods have a lot of corner stores. They're called bodegas in New York City, but they're just like regular convenience stores that you go into, mom-and-pop places. And what happens in a lot of these stores is they have higher prices for healthier foods, limited availability of healthier foods like fruits and vegetables, and a lot of inexpensive snack foods. So it's not surprising that the presence of these corner stores have been associated with increased risk of obesity. So my organization, City Harvest, actually started a healthy corner store program where we're actually trying to change the environment. We're working with the corner stores to encourage expansion of produce sales and healthy food choices in these stores. But the question behind this study is actually to see what factors are actually affecting what customers are purchasing. So we have three different data points that we used. We went into the corner stores and we listed the varieties, the sizes, and the prices of things like fruit and vegetables, potato chips, and candy. And then we talked to the customers to ask them, what are you purchasing from these corner stores? How far different food stores are from where they live? And then if they notice any sort of food advertising in their environment. Lastly, we walked around the corner stores to actually take pictures of what ads were present. Data collection occurred between June 2013 and September 2014. We went to 29 corner stores, and I don't know if anybody's from New York City, but this is the breakdown based on the neighborhoods that we worked at. For the customers that we talked to, 45% of them were female. They were predominantly Hispanic and Black. The average age was about 41 years old, and the average educational level was about high school graduates. So this is what customers were saying they were buying. About a third of them were saying they were buying fresh fruits from those corner stores, a quarter fresh vegetables, less than 10% buy canned fruits and vegetables, and 36% were buying chips and candy. And so even though these differences between chips and candy and fresh fruit wasn't significant, it's still kind of telling that more people were saying they were buying chips and candy rather than the healthier stuff. And so we wanted to look at the factors that could be affecting this, and so we came up with five. And they are distance to different types of stores, the quality of produce that's available in these corner stores, number of varieties of fruit and vegetables and snack foods, cost, and then advertising. So the first factor is distance to stores. And what you can see here is for most of the residents that we talked to, corner stores were a lot closer than a supermarket or a fast food restaurant. We broke it down based on distance. And so we categorized it as close, medium, or far store. And then we tried to see whether or not that affected what people were purchasing. And what you can see here is for corner store, supermarket, and fast food restaurant, as the distance increased, there wasn't really any sort of pattern that we could see with distance and what customers were saying they were buying for fruit and vegetables. And this is the breakdown for chips and candy. And so we didn't think that distance to different types of stores actually affected what customers were purchasing. The next factor that we looked at was quality of the produce. And we categorized that as poor, fair, or good. And those were the numerical values that we attributed to the different categories. And so the average fresh fruit quality was 2.4, and the average fresh vegetable quality was 2.2. When you look and see whether or not the quality affected what customers were purchasing, for fruits, as the quality increased, the percentage of customers who purchased fruit actually bought more fruit, but the change was actually not significant. For vegetables, it seemed 24% of customers were buying vegetables across the board, so that didn't really seem to be a factor as well. So quality was not a factor in what customers were purchasing in these stores. The third factor that we looked at was variety. And this just shows you that in one of these corner stores, when you go into them, the overwhelming amount of choices that you have are going to be potato chips and candy, and less so the fruit and vegetables. We categorize it, again, based on tertile, so it's low, medium, and high variety. And so here, what you see is that as the fruit and vegetable varieties increase, more customers were actually saying that they were purchasing fruit and vegetables, but you don't see that for potato chips and candy. So variety is actually a factor that seemed to affect what customers were purchasing. The fourth factor we looked at was cost. We looked at it initially by per ounce. So fruit and vegetables cost about 12 cents an ounce, whereas potato chips were 41 cents, and candy is about 47 cents per ounce. So that seemed to kind of contradict what customers were purchasing, because more customers were buying potato chips and candy, yet it was more expensive. We still categorized it based on those three different tertile things, so it's low, medium, and high cost, and looked to see whether or not that affected what people were buying. And so as cost increased per ounce for fruit, vegetable, potato chips, and candy, less customers were buying them, but the changes were actually not significant. So we looked at cost in a different way because it didn't seem to make sense that if something was more expensive, people would be buying it more. So we looked at it as, instead of per ounce, as per calorie. And what you see here is fruit and vegetable per calorie is more than a cent, whereas potato chips and candy are actually cheaper. And so that actually coincides with why people were buying more potato chips and candy. And then when you break it down by the different tertiles, this is what it looks like in terms of what customers are purchasing. So as costs for fruit, vegetable, and candy increased per calorie, there were less customers who were buying it. We don't really see any sort of relationship with potato chips, but it seemed like at least cost in this manner actually seemed to be a factor. The last thing we looked at was advertising. And so there are only two different types of ads we were looking at. So it's fruit and vegetable together and fast food ads. And for fast food ads, there are obviously a lot more ads, fast food ads in these neighborhoods than there were fruit and vegetable ads. We categorized it again, and then we first asked whether or not customers were noticing these ads at all. And so for fruit and vegetable ads, even though there were increasing number of ads within some of these neighborhoods, the customers who said they noticed them actually decreased. Whereas the fast food ads, as the number of fast food ads increased, more customers were noticing it. The changes weren't significant, but it was still kind of funny to see that fast food ads people did notice, and produce ads people didn't notice quite as well. Then we looked to see whether or not that had an effect on what customers were purchasing, and for both produce, for fruit and vegetables, it didn't seem to matter, whereas for potato chips, it actually seemed to decrease what they were purchasing. So the conclusion is that the factors that seem to be associated with what customers were buying is the number of varieties of fruits that's available and the cost of the fruits and vegetables per calorie. And the factors that didn't show any association in our study was distance to the store, quality, and advertising. So the things that our program should try to focus on is actually increasing availability or variety of fruit and vegetables sold in these corner stores, and then somehow work with suppliers, retailers, and policymakers to try to move what cost fruit and vegetables are in these corner stores. We understand that that's probably going to be a little difficult to achieve. So there are a lot of limitations to our study. It's self-report based on what a lot of people, customers, were telling us. Our sample size, even though, I mean, we talked to more than 400 customers, but there's a lot of corner stores in New York City, and so we only went to 29 of them, so we don't know if it's 100% representative. The assessment of quality is very subjective. I mean, there's only three categories, but one person's fair could be another person's really good produce, so we understood that. We went throughout the year to collect data, and so we know that the seasonality actually affects what varieties are available within these stores, and that could be something that we didn't actually get to analyze and look at. Cost of produce is actually a huge approximation, so it's based on the average size and average calorie contents of each fruit and vegetable, so it's a lot of an approximation. And the only ads that we looked at were print ads. And during our walk around when we were taking pictures, we could have missed some. But we also didn't account for TV commercial ads, which I'm sure is a huge exposure to population. I'm super excited to meet some people I have to thank. We do have a question about that. Most of the stores was actually in the front, so that didn't really seem to be a factor.
The junk food is in the front too, right?
Yeah.
Did you have any questions about where people normally buy their fruits and vegetables or like purpose of trip? Because you know a lot of times people might go to corner stores to grab a snack like chips or something.
Yeah. So most of them actually do get most of their groceries from supermarkets. They do say that. So, but for some of these people, the distance to the nearest supermarket could be like 20 blocks, which is really far. So they have to make a special trip for it. So the person who actually does the groundwork and does a lot of the actual program with the store owners, he does go from store to store. And sometimes they will have groups that are conglomerates together, and they'll say, hey, I know of another store in this neighborhood that you could go to. So it's a lot of groundwork, and it's a lot of word of mouth.
We actually
have that. So I think New York City actually already has that up, and we have it for the 5 neighborhoods that we work in. What we did try to do was map out the ads that we were taking, so all the pictures that we took of all the ads were also able to be mapped. We just haven't looked at it yet. Actually, no. We haven't gotten there yet, but that's a good idea. Yeah, so we actually work with supermarkets as well, and we're trying. I know New York City Department of Health is actually working with supermarkets as well, and there's a huge vendor that sells within the Bronx area, and working with them to try to at least change or have pricing specials for the stores that work with Department of Health hasn't been all that successful. I think they've been at least trying to implement the labeling of things so that the vendors who go there actually trying to buy things will know that it's healthier. But in terms of trying to actually get the big vendors to change their price points, not very successful yet.
How do you check how the consumerism of sweets is highly correlated with culture and with cultural events in mm-hmm. which the goblet of sweets is enticed by the marketing and other influences at the same time? Especially the issue of culture, which is really conditioned since very early life, the consumerism of very sugar sweetened products.
Well, we do ask them about culture and how that actually affects them, but I think we haven't looked at that data yet, and I think a lot of them are they're confused by what it is that we're hoping that they can give us. So I can't answer that quite yet. We haven't looked at it yet. So there are green cards in the neighborhoods that we're working at. I don't know if within the 2-block radius that we're actually looking at. I think when I was doing walk-arounds, I didn't see any. But within the neighborhoods that we work at, the five neighborhoods that we work at, they definitely have incentives to try to get green cards into those areas. And I know those are, you know, usually the lower income neighborhoods that New York City tries to work on. And so they have them. It's just I haven't seen them specifically. Okay. We don't ask specifically about housing, but I know sometimes when we talk to customers, they will mention certain things like that. So anecdotally, we do have something about that. I do know a lot of the housing projects. So we work really closely with New York City housing projects. And so they technically should still all have their power because it's New York City housing. So, I mean, they are liable for a lot of this stuff. So at least within those housing projects, they should.